the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hey, welcome to Rant and Wrestling. It's your boy Doomsday 519, and this is episode 216. Of course, with me is my partner in crime, the man hailing from the west side, West Side Goth.
Yay, yay. Oh, and fuck that guy trying to turn California into three different states.
Yo, apparently this has been going on for decades, but I think this is the most viable, this is the most viable... one, so that it could actually happen this time around.
No. We would have to, even if they got it on the thing, they have to get approved from the California Congress and then approved by the U.S. Congress. California Congress will look at this and say, fuck this shit, because the California Congress didn't even really follow through on the prison reform they tried that passed.
Oh, which prison reform? Did they try to privatize, more shit,
no,
or
no,
what?
No. They were, they should get rid of more of the people who have misdemeanors. That was it.
Oh, really?
And then, I think it finally partly went through, but I think they more or less only focused on that one with new cases. If you were still in jail before that went through, you were still kind of fucked, right?
Yeah.
But because I think they surprised some of the people who went through, because one of the ladies seriously said, "Well, we can't let these people out of jail. They're our private workforce," and everyone was like, "What?" Nah.
Yo,
even if this passes, it has to go through three or four different things, and there's no way it's going to pass our Congress.
Yo, could you imagine, they have to, change the flag if that actually goes down?
Oh, if that goes through, everybody's going to go to the rich part of California and fuck them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
it looks like if you split it, every part of California is still quote unquote rich, but one is just richer.
Yeah. That would be, but it's also the north part would be, more white.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. It's all Silicon Valley would be more white too, but they're horrible people as well, so them. It's still basically SoCal would still be the best place, the realest place, I should say. But we don't want Enzo. I'm just saying that because he tends to try to pretend he's real. Fuck
realest,
him.
Realest guy in the room.
Fuck that dude.
Realest
once
guy
again, bringing it back to wrestling.
Realest guy in the room, though.
Fuck him. All right, you ready?
Oh yeah. Yeah, so my shit is golden. Oh yeah, just to give people a heads up, there may not be an episode next week.
Really?
Yeah, that's right, because I will be on a vacation, so to speak. I won't be actually, leaving Baltimore. So basically what I'm doing is that I am kind of I'm going to a hotel downtown, right? And I'm basically staying there for 6 days. Yeah.
Then there's the show the week after, which I guess we'll jump on the G1 Climax stuff because I'm not going to be here the next week after that.
Oh, really? Shit.
I'm on my 2-week vacation, but that first week I'm going to be in Colorado with the family.
Nice. See, I wish I could, decide to fly out somewhere, but what would I do? I don't know.
Especially because flying is expensive.
Yeah.
My part of the family out here looked at the cost of flying to Colorado and decided we're just all going to get a fucking van and drive 2 days.
Yeah.
And that'll be about the same price as flying out to Colorado and renting a car.
Nice. Yeah, because I was thinking of going to go to California somewhere. But then it's damn, that shit's expensive, and I'm going by myself, and it's yeah, that would be too much.
And you would need to get around by car over here, too.
Exactly, so it's just a lot.
Public transport is not.
Yeah.
good.
Yeah. And then, in the same time, like, Baltimore is a place that where I work, but I don't know it that much, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I work in Baltimore, and then I leave. That's what I do. Every time. So, like, I never, like, really explore unless I'm, like, walking to go find some special place to eat. But, like, I never visit any special places, any parks or museums or any shit like that. So, should be pretty cool to go walk around and see some stuff that I haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, have fun, man.
I will. Yeah.
So, let's start with NXT TakeOver Chicago, too.
Trash. Right. I'm joking.
Yeah, this was the good show. Yeah. All right, we had two theme songs. Uncomfortable by Hailstorm. Painless by Fozzy. It was sponsored by WWE Champions. I didn't know you could... Isn't that their own people? I mean, can you sponsor your own event, I guess?
I guess.
Attendance is apparently 11,000. It was in... The venue was Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. All right, here we go. Opening match. The Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong successfully defended their tag team titles against Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Adam Cole was in the corner. The match was 16 minutes. This was a very hot opener, man.
Yeah, man. I was actually a little bit surprised about this one. A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I'd have been happy if Lorcan and Burke won just because, but, you know, it's okay. Riley and Strong were a pretty good tag team for a couple guys I'm used to watching wrestle each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed this one, man. Shit was dope. The only thing I didn't like was how the off the bat, like, the crowd started being disrespectful to Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Like, off the bat, I was like, you know, what are you guys doing?
I don't know if it wasn't coming through that well, or maybe I just wasn't fucking paying attention to the audience, to be honest with you.
No, they were booing.
I mean, I saw people talk about the Chicago show, but maybe I, you know, have learned to tune the Chicago crowd out. I don't know. Because I don't remember much of any of that, to be honest with you.
Like, they were legit booing the shit out of them. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, Chicago's either a super indie town or a heel town, depending on how you feel. Alright, next match, and my favorite match of the night because I'm a mark. Ricochet defeated Velveteen Dream in just over 22 minutes. I love this match. I love that Velveteen Dream decided the one dive he wants to do out to the floor was one of the most ridiculously hard ones.
Yeah, right?
They hurt their fucking leg trying to do that one.
Right.
And then he tried to do it fast. He just strolled his ass into it.
Yeah, that was funny. Somebody made a comment how, like, when he wrestles, it seems like it's like he's lagging in a video game sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But for some reason, for him, that shit works. Like, he's almost deliberate. Like, old-school deliberate. Very Southern style, which makes sense, you know. Because I'm pretty sure that's a lot of the influences in the over in Maryland would be more of a Southern wrestling style.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
which is funny because you have him and then but you also have Leo Rush, so it's like,
which is much more of the Philly super indie style, right?
Yeah,
there.
Which is funny because the guy that trained them, they call him the Bruiser. he's the one who trained them. That guy is like a local legend type that like is like big MCW heavyweight champion, yada yada yada. But that guy knows how to work both ways, like real slow, methodical Southern type shit, but it also gets that indie shit. Like going that modern indie crap going, so it's really interesting.
That
so
fed up stuff that doesn't so quite
yeah. So those MCW, those MCW guy trainers are actually really good with like teaching like a good balance of stuff. So
it's interesting though. It's like Leo Rush and Velveteen Dream are like the guys out of that, and they're like the polar opposites of it.
Yeah,
that makes it pretty interesting. But yeah, this was a
that was my favorite match on the show. Like I said, I was a mark. I like Velveteen Dream stole Ricochet's one somersault senton to the inside.
Yeah.
I like just them trading moves. I like how they kept fighting for the big flying finish.
Yeah.
But this was great. I loved it. Then next up is... I'll talk about this a little bit more in the next when we talk about the pay-per-view, but I've decided that the only women's title I really care about right now in all of WWE is Shayna Baszler's title. But we'll get to that later. So my champion, Shayna Baszler, defeated Nikki Cross by technical submission, successfully defending her title in just under 9.5 minutes. This was a fun match. Shayna Baszler got to try out different facial expressions and like surprise and confusion because she's used to being the baddest bitch in the room, but Nikki Cross is insane. And Nikki Cross, yeah, she was having fun with this, and I love the finish with her kind of smiling before, you know, going to sleep. I would not be disappointed if they did another match between these two. I enjoyed it. It was my favorite of all the women's matches that happened. It would have been my second favorite, but things happened to my first favorite that made me think maybe I shouldn't be bothered. But we'll talk about that later. What you think about this match?
Yeah, I liked it. Yeah, I liked it. Serviceable.
I did actually do a little bit of reading. I don't know much about catch wrestling, but apparently Shayna Baszler is the only certified female catch wrestling coach in the United States.
So yeah, yeah. I think I read that on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like a while back.
All right. Next up, Aleister Black successfully defended his title against Lars Sullivan. Just over 14 minutes. There was one gaffe in the match, but other than that, it was a pretty good match.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. It was really good. I guess my thing is it's just weird how they're treating Aleister Black, because even though I think Andrade was probably the best champion of the last several champions,
yeah,
I think Aleister Black is better than several of the champions, but they're not. It doesn't really seem like they give him as much focus as he probably deserves. But, you know, whatever. He beat him. He won this defense. So either he's coming to get called up after the next takeover, or he's actually going to be an extended champion for a while, which would be interesting. We haven't had an extended champion for a while.
Yeah.
It was nice that Lars Sullivan actually went down clean. Lars Sullivan actually looked pretty good in this match. Some good moves. It was good. Keith Lee was in the crowd, and so was Kairi Sane. But yeah, Keith Lee was in the crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
For some reason, when he's in a suit, I'm just thinking, Jesus, this guy's about to break out in a song, right?
Right. Somebody, so I think, I don't know if it, yeah, it was Leo Rush that called him poor man's Gerald LaVert. You ever heard of that singer before?
Yeah. My mom likes that old school, that was like 90s, I guess. But yeah. I know.
Yeah, it was 90s,
I don't
yeah.
remember his songs that well, but I remember him from that era. There were him and some other dudes, too.
Yeah, because it was his, I think it was his brothers that he was singing with at some point. But yeah. But yeah, RIP to him. RIP. RIP.
Yeah. All right, next up, the main event. As I predicted, Tommaso Ciampa defeated Johnny Gargano in a Chicago street fight. Almost 35 minutes and 30 seconds. Good match. I've admitted this online. While I like Ciampa and Gargano, I'm not terribly into this feud. But
really?
Both matches they've had, yeah, I don't know what it is.
Huh.
Maybe it's just because I, you know, been watching wrestling since I was a kid. For some reason, the breakup of tag teams generally just take me out of everything. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm so used to WWE doing it now that I just it happens, and then I get the feud that happens, and I'm like, okay. I will give them credit. This is one of the few where it seems like they like both guys, because most of the time they break up a tag team, they like one dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're both really good matches. I thought the way that they played was smart, the callback stuff and all that. I still think the match from the last takeover was better than this one. But I mean, I like both matches, but I'm not terribly that big in a few. But yeah, it was still a good main event. And I now expect Ciampa to challenge for the title.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, yeah, I really liked this match. Thought it was definitely interesting. The end with Johnny kind of screwing himself. So
yeah, I saw your tweet. A callback to a famous Vince McMahon quote.
Yeah. Johnny screwed Johnny.
Yeah. That was a good show. It'd be interesting to see if someone posts the production info, because they did. Somebody posted the backstage production thing and it listed the producers for the matches. Did you see that for the last takeover?
No.
That one was interesting because Sarah Del Rey actually co-produced the title match for that show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, huh. The Aleister Black versus Andrade match.
Nice.
And then it was basically, it was mostly like, I think Shawn Michaels produced a match and a half, and I think Triple H produced a couple matches. So she was like the one name on there that was fascinating. Because she didn't produce the women's match for that show, but she helped produce the men's match. So I thought that was really cool. I'm hoping something like that comes out. All right, you ready for the big show? That was less interesting.
Oh, most definitely. I'm ready.
Here we go. We've got Money in the Bank. I don't see an official song listed here. Whatever. Fuck the original song. And the sponsors were WWE Champions, woo, and Gold Bond Ultimate. I have no clue what that is. It was also at the Allstate Arena, Rosemont, Illinois. Crowd was over 15,000. All right, let's do this. Results. All right, I did not watch the pre-show match. It ran apparently 7 minutes. The Bludgeon Brothers successfully retained their title against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Did you watch this?
Yeah, it was okay.
All right. Usually I watch the pre-show matches and you don't, so that was interesting. Next up, Daniel Bryan defeated Big Cass by submission. 16 minutes and 19 seconds. Not the super hot opener we've been getting lately, but still a very good match.
Yeah.
And one of Big Cass's best singles matches. Not that it matters. Should we talk about it now or later?
Yeah, we might as well. Yeah.
All right. Big Cass was just released on Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was interesting. I'm not a big fan of Big Cass, but he had a defined character. This match was good enough to make me think that there was room to grow. So I was a little surprised, but this sounds like this might just come back to him going against Directive a few months ago.
So what I read was that it was more than that. Allegedly said he may have had attitude issues here and there. There may have been like an incident that somebody like was, I don't know who, like some anonymous person, I guess, like, told whatever publication, that basically, there was one incident at, one of the, buses that they had, in that, the door for the bathroom wasn't working well or something like that, and he got frustrated and basically broke it or something like that. That was a few weeks ago or something.
So his frustration is showing. WWE is not a place where if you... I mean, well, that's kind of weird, because, I mean, there are people who get frustrated at WWE and they don't get, you know, fired, or they don't get their release, and then there are people who are frustrated and they get released. I don't understand how WWE picks this up, because they liked Big Cass.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still won't fucking let Neville go.
Right.
I honestly, I don't get it, but hopefully Big Cass will land on his feet and not hang out with Enzo.
Yeah.
Alright, next up. We had a rather dull match between Bobby Lashley and Sami Zayn. Bobby Lashley beat Sami Zayn in just over 6.5 minutes.
And this is going to be the last we see of Sami Zayn for a little while, too. So,
yeah, I heard. Hopefully they'll repackage him as, you know, Sami Zayn, guy who can put together good matches if you fucking let him. They've been putting him in bad feuds. I mean, for a minute, I thought things were going to be good with him turning heel and helping Kevin Owens, but they just ran both of them down into the ground. But they rebounded Kevin Owens and just kept fucking with Sami Zayn. I don't know. What is wrong with you, WWE? Sami Zayn needs to leave. He's got buddies in fucking New Japan. Alright. Next up, possibly the best match of the show, the Intercontinental Championship match. Seth Rollins successfully defeated Elias in 17 minutes even, apparently. I liked this match. It was good. Elias looked pretty good. I liked it when he was just tossing Seth Rollins into, like, the barricade, the ring, and the steel steps. A little quick bit. Seth Rollins actually won with a roll-up and grabbed the tights. It was interesting. But yeah, good match. What did you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I definitely liked the last, like, 5 minutes of it. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, it was dope.
Very hot. This is another match I guess you could argue was the best match of the show, though I was a little deflated by the ending. The Women's Money in the Bank match, 18 minutes and 30 seconds. Alexa Bliss defeated Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Ember Moon, Lana, Naomi, Natalie, and Sasha Banks. There were some really good spots in this. Ember Moon and Naomi worked hard.
Yes, they did. Jesus.
Yes. Becky Lynch was the, I want to say, Becky Lynch and Talia and Banks were kind of the glue to hold the match together.
Yeah.
Technically, Charlotte Flair came in, did her good spots, and then got would get knocked out.
Yeah.
Lana looked pretty decent in there. She didn't do anything too rough, but she was game. And
yeah.
Then Alexa Bliss did the least amount of stuff and won.
Yeah. That's what Alexa Bliss does, man.
Yes.
That's what she does.
I finally came up with why I don't like Alexa Bliss as a wrestler, but I'll get to that in a little bit. Next up, a match in which I didn't watch it, I believe, because... Did I watch it? Or did, what's it called? Come on. Actually, you know what? I think Westworld came on right about here. So I tuned out, but I had it on in the back, next to me. Roman Reigns defeated Jinder Mahal. Is 15 minutes and 44 seconds. Did I miss anything with this one?
Not really. No, not at all. Nope.
All right, I'm surprised this match went over 11 minutes, but Carmella defeated Asuka with the help of Ellsworth, which I predicted would happen. Was it as bad as I feel like it would have been?
It was your standard fare.
All right, that's not too bad. And I'll add Carmella to the list, too. And I've been nice to her, but I'll talk about her in a second, too, when I get to back to Alexa Bliss. All right, next up, I caught the last half of this match, or the last third, because Westworld went off. And I wasn't going to miss Westworld this Sunday. Last time there was the pay-per-view, it was so bad while I was taping Westworld, I turned it off and then watched my DVR one. I'm like, I'm not risking that shit again. But AJ Styles successfully defeated Shinsuke Nakamura in a last man standing match, proving that no man person from Japan is going to hold the title.
Right?
Yeah.
Jesus.
In 31 minutes and 15 seconds. He was like, I gave you guys the Royal Rumble, that's all you get. What I saw this match was pretty good, but that was like the last half, the last third. What do you think?
I enjoyed it. Like they both went hard in it. I just didn't like the outcome. That's
yeah.
It.
All right, in a match that was on its way to being my favorite women's match of the weekend, Ronda Rousey defeated Nia Jax by disqualification in over 11 minutes. This match was actually on its way to be good because finally Nia Jax had someone to fight who could take a fight. Where Nia Jax could use her size and general power to over, you know, to deal with the wrestler instead of having to work at a smaller wrestler's level. And Ronda Rousey continues to show that she's actually got what it takes to be a wrestler. She's got a good ground game. Her that couple of those takedowns she did to Nia Jax were very gnarly and legitimate judo takedowns. This was really going really, really good. And then Alexa Bliss came in. And then Alexa Bliss got the disqualification. She cashed in. She won. Okay. This fucking pissed me off for a number of reasons. I've been saying for weeks now that one of my problems with Alexa Bliss and Charlotte was because they've decided to mainly focus on them, they're kind of hurting their own women's division if they're trying to promote their women's division. What's the point in Alexa Bliss being the champion 5 times in 2 years if you're going to have her lose the title, win it back a couple months later, lose it, win it back, go to a different show, whatever, so on and so forth? If you just wanted to be the champion, or Charlotte to just be the champion, just let them have the title and let them go through multiple different challengers. If you're not going to let someone else have a real run with the belt, there's no point. Well, my biggest problem with Alexa Bliss and Carmella, and I think both of them have good characters, you know what I mean? They're purely defined people. But they wrestle in a way where they're not supposed to up their own game.
Right.
They don't have to work harder. You put Sasha Banks in with someone who's better than her, Sasha Banks is going to work harder. Same with Bayley, same with Becky. And even though I have some problems with Charlotte, Charlotte tries to work to be the better of the wrestlers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Alexa Bliss and Carmella can't do that. Alexa Bliss doesn't wrestle like someone who needs to work harder. She wrestles like Alexa Bliss. So everyone who wrestles her feels like they have to wrestle less than themselves.
Right.
And that's my problem. As good a heel as she is, she's not a good worker. If she was thrown in with, like, the classic women's wrestling of, like, I hate to say, like, All Japan in the 90s, she would have had her head fucking taken off in the first 3 minutes, because no one's going to slow down to wrestle her.
Yeah.
If she can't take a fucking lariat, she's not going to keep wrestling. And that's my criticism of Alexa Bliss, and to an extent, Carmella. I mean, at least with Carmella, I guess, what's his name, helped her. But with them as champions, I can't see the women's division being worth watching on Raw or SmackDown. So yeah. I don't give a fuck. Whereas with at least Shayna Baszler, there's a lot of good women in NXT for her to fight.
Right.
And even though she even though she still seems a little weird in the ring, her character work is good, and you know that she's a legit fighter. So you kind of like, well, she's not the best wrestler, but if it turned into a fight, she would be vicious. So I can buy that, right?
Right.
So I can accept. So right now, Shayna Baszler is my de facto favorite women's champion right now, and the NXT women's title is the only of these titles I really fucking care about. And the only women's wrestling that's going to matter is when they start doing the Mae Young Classic, which I have some news about that later.
All right.
But any thoughts on the Alexa Bliss, Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey thing?
This was, I think, my favorite Nia Jax match on the main roster.
Oh, she looked great when she was going at her. Yeah. Because that's what Nia Jax needed. She needed someone she could, like, because they don't want her to bully people. Like, I swear to God, if Nia Jax was around in All Japan Women, they would have trained her a little bit better, and she would have just had just hoss matches with, like, Aja Kong or Bull Nakano or shit. And, you know, they wouldn't have had any problem with her just, like, fucking killing an Akira Hokkaido. Because as much as Akira Hokkaido was great, if she was in there with, like, a big woman, she'd get ragdolled.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really thought Nia Jax looked great. And her selling was on point through the whole match, too. Alright, so you want to move on or anything else?
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Alright, main event, which I think was slightly disappointing, coming in at just under 20 minutes. I mean, it was still a pretty good match, but I was expecting a little better. Braun Strowman won the Money in the Bank match over Bobby Roode, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Kofi Kingston, Rusev, Samoa Joe, and The Miz. And even though there were some interesting spots, I would say the women's Money in the Bank match went harder.
Yeah, it did. There were definitely interesting spots in it, but it just felt like standard fare for the most part. And then with the women, you could pinpoint, like, at least one thing each of them did. But then you look at the men's, Bobby Roode, like, if you took him out of the match, then, like, shit, like, then it wouldn't have mattered at all.
Yeah, Bobby Roode didn't do anything.
He was a non-factor the whole match.
they took Kevin Owens out after what, like 10 minutes maybe?
Yeah, they did they did take him out pretty fairly early, yeah.
Yeah, Kofi Kingston worked hard. I thought Rusev worked really hard.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe didn't do a lot of ladder spots, but he was a force.
Yeah.
The Miz tried to work the smart heel. Finn Balor worked aggressively, and but he knew that they were going to build the match around Braun Strowman.
Mm-hmm.
And even though, like I said, Alexa Bliss did the least in the Money in the Bank match, you kind of knew that was her character going in anyway, the dastardly heel thing. And like I said, with that one, you had you had like Becky Lynch as the sympathetic character. You had Sasha Banks, Charlotte, and Natalya working, you know, the real straight like wrestling glue to hold the match together. Naomi and Ember Moon were doing a lot of the big spots. And even though Lana also took a little bit less, it looked like when she was in there, they focused on her, you know, sure she did some of the Machka, Rusev stuff. But she was, you know, she actually got a crowd reaction going for her, too. But, yeah, the Men's Money in the Bank match, that was underwhelming.
Yeah.
So, I would say a better pay-per-view than last, but still not that much of a step up.
No. No.
Alright. So, next up, I assuming is, well, we got the UK Championship Tournament, which we already talked about. That airs next week. I don't think we really need to talk about it, since we did most of talking about it already. Then after that is Extreme Rules, which we already have a couple of four matches already set, or three matches already set up. Alexa Bliss defending her newly won championship against Nia Jax. Somehow I feel Nia Jax is going to get screwed out of this. We're going to have a number one contender for the Universal title. Once again, showing why that whole comparison to Brock and Okada was stupid. Because if this was New Japan, Okada would have been wrestling on this show too, even if he wasn't defending the title. Because Okada works almost all his shows. Oh, that reminds me. They told Naito what Omega said about how the Japanese have it easier and they work less. And Naito was like, I was like, he's not even at this show. I was like, where is he? And he's not on this tour. I was like, because I said that the reason why I wouldn't put Omega as my wrestler of the year is he's worked less match shows than fucking Tanahashi. Tanahashi's a fucking broken man. Why is he working more matches?
Right.
I'd rather Tanahashi took extended leave. But yeah, I thought that was funny. But the number one contendership match, which we have Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley on, more will be announced. And then, you'll probably talk about this later, but AJ Styles and Rusev, which sounds fun. But before we get to that, we're going to do some quick New Japan talk. All right, so I watched some of the main events at the Kizuna Road shows. Goto won back the Never Open Weight title from Michael Elgin.
Yeah, I did not expect that at all.
Did you watch the match?
No, I did not.
It was good. Some people really, really liked it. But I've been having struggling with some of the Elgin matches. Sometimes I'm focused, sometimes I'm not. They went hard. There was a weird Tai Chi spot in the middle where he tried to attack them, but Jeff Cobb came out, so they're still doing Cobb and Elgin as a tag team, which is kind of weird. But and then the match went another like 10, 15 minutes because I thought they were going to wrap it up in 5, but they didn't. But they, lots of lariats, lots of hard strikes, lots of just, it was a mean match, and, Goto worked and got the title back, and then, Cobb challenged him, so I'm assuming we might be getting Goto versus Cobb at the, Cow Palace, too. We'll see. The next night, Taka Hiromu successfully defended his, junior title from Desperado. I was kind of half watching the match. But it wasn't as good as their Best of the Super Juniors match. I did really like the Super Strong Machine retirement match where Tanahashi, Taguchi, Nakanishi, Nagata, and Tenzin were all dressed in Super Strong Machine get-ups, and they were wrestling Los Ingobernables de Japón. It was a very fun match, some fun spots. Super Strong Machine actually came out with his old manager. They were watching, and Super Strong Machine actually hit Naito with the lariat on the outside.
Nice.
And Taguchi, or Strong Machine 69, won the match for his team with Super Strong Machine's finisher, which is a bridging hammerlock suplex hold. So it was a pretty good, it was a fun match. It was a lot of very, it was almost Chikara-ish when they were doing, would do the like big five versus five matches. With, they did the five-person suplex spot. So, good times, good times. But the big thing going on with the tournament was all the G1 stuff. So here we go. We have the blocks and the wrestlers. We also have the complete shows. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I'll mention a few shows. But Block A, we have Michael Elgin, Evil, Bad Luck Fale, Togi Makabe, Kazuchika Okada, making his G1 Climax debut, Hangman Page, Minoru Suzuki, Hiroshi Tanahashi, making his G1 debut, Jay White, Switchblade, and also Yoshihashi. So Block A features one Los Ingobernables wrestler, three Chaos guys, and two Bullet Club dudes, and one Suzuki-gun, and then a couple non-affiliated, a.k.a. Taguchi Japan dudes. The big match is happening on this one. Tanahashi and Okada, of course, they're going to be wrestling on the last night of the Block A matches, which I think is the 11th of August. Obviously, Tanahashi and Suzuki, which I believe is night one. Also, because if you remember, Suzuki actually took the IC title off of Tanahashi earlier this year. Okada and Suzuki, their last match ended in a draw. We also have the Jay White versus Okada is actually the main event for the first night. I don't know if you remember the Jay White-Okada press conference when Jay White joined Chaos. He talked a little bit about how Chaos is going to let him do whatever he wants. Oh, and how he's very interested in wrestling Okada and seeing how strong Okada is. And kind of wondering about the structure of Chaos. So this might actually lead to a storyline where Jay White tries to take over control of Chaos. So that's a very interesting match. I've actually got Jay White winning his first two matches since the night, second night he wrestles Tanahashi, but we'll see. They're also doing a... It looks like the way that the blocks were announced, I mean the matches, they because they did... this time when they announced the big matches, they actually announced all G1 matches for that night. So Evil has several semi-main event ones, so it looks like they're positioning Evil and as well as Suzuki and Jay White as... sort of, and to a lesser extent, Fale, as sort of the other four main guys on that block. So that's Block A. How's that block sound for you?
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
All right, now Block B is fucking insane, man. We have the never openweight champion, Hirooki Goto. We have the sublime thief, Toru Yano. We got Tama Tonga. We have Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr., Juice Robinson, Tetsuya Naito, Tomohiro Ishii, the champion, Kenny Omega, and a man that they didn't think would make it this year because he was banned from the Budokan for moonsaulting off the fucking balcony, Kota Ibushi is back in.
Nice.
So they are giving you the Kenny Omega-Kota Ibushi match that everybody's been talking about. First singles match since 2012 Budokan where Ibushi was banned. So is Ibushi going to do the fucking moonsault? This is the last Block B match main event. So that's that. The first Block B main event is actually the third match in the Omega Naito series. So they're going to open hard and they're going to end hard. We also have Naito Sonata, first time meeting. We have Tama Tonga wrestling Kenny Omega again in the current climate. So is Bullet Club fine? So this is going to be interesting to see how this one turns out with Tama Tonga. But yeah, basically most of the pay-per-views are going to be main event shows are going to be main event by either Ibushi or Omega. Naito will be doing a lot of the co-main events on this on these shows. We're going to have several rematches here because Zack Sabre Jr. is in a block where he defeated two of the guys, three of the guys in the New Japan Cup. Because if you remember, Zack Sabre Jr. beat Ibushi. He beat Naito first, then he beat Ibushi, and then he beat Sonata. So yeah, that's three guys who are going to want to get revenge on Zack Sabre Jr. Going into this, Juice Robinson actually has a hand injury, so he's still booked for the rest of the Kizuna Road Tour, and he has his match with Jay White for the title coming up. I'm wondering if he's actually going to make it to the G1 Climax.
Huh.
So
that would suck.
Yeah. So Block B is super stacked. Any thoughts on Block B?
I think it's pretty solid.
Do you have any favorites? Because I've went through this multiple times, and I honestly do not know who they would have win it. I mean, I guess Kenny Omega could win it. I don't know if they would do Naito 2 years in a row. And the last few years, they haven't... The last time they had the winner of the G1 Climax, who was in the same block as the champion at that time, they actually took the title off the champion. That was AJ Styles and Okada. Because there was a year they wrestled and AJ was the champion. Okada beat AJ in the block. But then AJ ended up losing the title to Tanahashi before the Wrestle Kingdom kicked him in gear. So that was the last time that the guy who won block the tournament was in the same block as the champion. Which makes me wonder if Ibushi would actually win it. I don't know, man. I've been trying to book this shit. I have no clue. Would Okada win it?
Again?
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, Okada's won it twice. He just lost the title. I mean, I guess we could... It's been a few years since Tanahashi won. He's only won it twice, but... I mean, and they haven't really... And it's been over, like, what, 2 years since they've done Tanahashi, Kenny Omega. It's possible. Would Kenny win it as champion? Would Naito do it 2 years in a row? Would they actually have Ibushi win and go on? It's tough. I have no clue how this is going to go. All right, so that is your G1 Climax. Do you want to do Raw and SmackDown, or do we not care?
I can just point out some highlights, I guess, that I noticed. The Ronda Rousey incident with on Raw was actually pretty entertaining.
I saw clips of it. It looked nice.
Yeah, she beat the shit.
Even though I don't like her as a person, I like her as a character.
Right, right. Because See, I don't know. Yeah. So then they did the whole 30-day suspension thing. So I don't know how that's gonna exactly work out. People are already weary of her kind of like appearing once and disappearing for a while, you know.
And she's still done more shows than Brock Lesnar in the last few months.
Definitely handed to her on that one, on that accord. What else happened on Raw that I actually paid attention to? Sasha and Bayley, I think, are legit broken up now, I guess. Well, they were before. They fought in the back before. They made up for a little bit, but I guess it seemed like it may be over now. Because after they took an L against the Riot Squad, they ended up fighting and scrapping and shit. So we'll see how that one goes. This is something that people have been waiting for a little bit, I guess. I wonder if they're going
to... Honestly, their feud should be the one that the title is built around, so they're the most interesting thing happening.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm not looking forward to Nia versus Alexa. Not looking forward to that.
That match they had, I don't know what they told Nia. Like, look, we know you can kill her, but we can't let you do that to our champion.
Yeah.
So she's just going to keep eye-raking you.
Yeah.
See, the only time I've ever been okay with a match built around an eye rake was when Naito wrestled Elgin again.
And
because Naito actually busted Elgin's eye in a match.
Mm-hmm.
The orbital bone thing. So that one kind of made sense from a story standpoint.
Right.
But that match Bliss had with Nia Jax was just highlighting some of Bliss's faults as a wrestler and how bad some of those wrestling agents are. It would have been more believable if Nia Jax had tweaked her leg partway through the match and build around that. You know, the typical big man thing that works. But once again, I'm going on a rant. Continue.
Oh, yeah. Besides that, I really didn't pay attention to anything that happened on Raw. So...
Well, the best thing sounded like it happened on SmackDown, so you hit that one up.
SmackDown happened. Carmella talked her bullshit with James Ellsworth. Ellsworth got beat up by Asuka, but of course Carmella beat her up and they escaped. What else went down? Didn't focus too much on anything else besides Sanity, finally making their debut, but instead of actually having a match against the Usos, they just decided to beat the shit out of them. And of course, the gauntlet match that went down. Big E and Daniel Bryan had a fantastic match against each other in the beginning of that gauntlet match. Fantastic. Really good. Like, that is one of the reasons why Big E should eventually get pushed to the fucking moon. You know? Because people knew that, like, he had it, you know? People have known that type of shit since he was fucking NXT champ. But
yeah, Big E and Kofi Kingston should both be top flight singles.
Right.
Kofi is a great, can work great as an underdog, and he's been around long enough. He deserves even a short run of champion. And Big E's got the power, the ability. He's the kind of big man that people complain we don't have big men, the right kind of big man. He's got the personality. He's got the power. And he's not so powerful that, you know, it's weird to have him lose. You know what I mean? Get those guys the fucking title. But not the tag title. Let's go back to the Usos.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of them. Anyway, so Daniel Bryan, Big E happened. Of course, Big E took the L. Who was next after that? It was, I think it was Daniel Bryan versus... Shit. I forget who was the second
one. Samoa Joe, right?
Oh, that's right. Samoa Joe. And Samoa Joe picked apart Daniel Bryan for a while, but Daniel Bryan was able to weasel his way back into the ring for a 10 count. So Samoa Joe did not get beaten by Daniel Bryan clean, per se, but it was a count out.
Just smart. Keeps Joe strong. Keeps Daniel Bryan as the smart wrestler.
Yeah. And then after that, who was next?
Was it The Miz?
No, it wasn't The Miz. Okay, hold up. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's right. It was The Miz. Miz came out. And, but before that ended up happening, the Bludgeon Brothers, who had a stare down with Daniel Bryan earlier, came back into the ring and took him out. So, but because they took him out, Miz, as soon as he caught wind, ran down, hit him with the skull crushing finale, pinned him, tossed him out the ring, and berated him. So that fucking happened.
So basically, Daniel Bryan's gonna have to take the tag titles from the Bludgeon Brothers, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, because he has no tag partner.
Yeah, that's right. But then after that, they ended up The Miz versus Rusev, which Rusev ended up winning. So now Rusev is actually the the number one contender for the WWE title.
Finally, Rusev Day was recognized.
Yeah, that's right. It was recognized. Rusev Day.
He's got it all. He's got. He can be a, you know, like I said, he could be a strong monster type, but he has. But he can be funny. You got Aiden English out here crooning and stuff, looking like a mad scientist who's got a second career as a soul singer. He's got his woman with him. I mean, come on, man. If this was the 80s, he would have been the champion for a year. But, yeah. Sounds good. I actually saw that, and I'm actually happy for... I actually kind of want to watch Extreme Rules now.
Yeah.
And that's something that doesn't generally happen. Alright, so real quick before we get into this, let me just do these only a couple cards that matter. The only ones I could find, at least. Alright, so there's no Powerbomb TV show this weekend, so will be some next weekend, but whatever. We're not going to be here to talk about it. But Chikara has a show on the 23rd. Dasher Hatfield versus Fire Ant. We have Hype Rockwell versus Blank. Solo Darling versus Blanche Babish. The Legion of Rot, which is Hollow Wicked, Frightmare, and Cobalt, taking on Lucas Calhoun, Timothy Leary, and I guess a debuting wrestler known as the 79. Travis Huckabee and Icarus versus Cyberhawks 2000. And the match that sounds most interesting, Matt Riddle returns to Chikara to take on Mr. Touchdown. Huh. I still need to watch the Johnny Kidd Invitational. I might actually watch that after we're done here. And then we have the... I actually bothered to grab the CMLL show poster. Where are you? There you are. So, according to the poster, this is what we got. We have the opening match, Super Astro Jr. and Robin taking on Akuma and Yago. The standard six women tag match, which is basically the same match every time from what it sounds like. I've only watched these. Estrelita, Marcella, and La Jorricheta. I don't know her. She's new to me. Versus Dallas, Amapola, and Reina Isis. I don't know Reina Isis either. Some of they had to replace a few women, so maybe they replaced some good people. I don't know. Blue Panther, Black Panther, and Blue Panther Jr. Black Panther, formerly just known as Panther. Probably really liked the movie and had them throw black in front of it, right? So the Panther family, because they're all related, take on Dragon Roja, Hechicero, and Polvora. Might be a pretty decent match. Then we got Caristico, a.k.a. Sin Cara, a.k.a. Mystico. But yeah, Caristico, Atlantis, and Stuka taking on Ultimo Guerrera, Euphoria, La Bestia del Ring, which sounds like a pretty decent match. Mr. Nebula, Negro Costas, and Cabanero taking on Volador Jr., Heyo de la Park, and Ray Phoenix, a.k.a. King Phoenix. They spell it differently for CMLL. And this will be his third Friday show in a week, so they're really using him. And then the main event, the one-on-one match, L.A. Park versus Rush. These guys have been feuding on and off for years. Some of it was in Lucha Elite. Lately it's been in here. None of their tag matches ever end cleanly. It always ends in a foul somehow. So I'm expecting this will end in a foul somewhere too. But apparently people are pushing LA Park and Lil Rush as one of the feuds of the year. And LA Park as suddenly one of the top, again, one of the top guys for finessing the Lucha system and showing up in CMLL and AAA and having major matches in both. But yeah, that's the Friday CMLL show. It should be streamed on Claro Sports if you can't find it. Cubs, what's his name? Lucha Blog on Twitter will link you to his YouTube where he will mirror the stream. And then on Saturday, the show will be up on CMLL's official YouTube channel. Those are the only shows I have for you. And now we got news. You ready?
News. Let's get it.
All right, I'm going to start with the sad story, and then I'm going to start with a lighthearted story to counteract the sad story. Big Van Vader, the legend, just passed away.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Sometimes actor, major star, won most of the major world titles except for the WWE title, which still makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
But, he passed away with complications. He had pneumonia, and he had that heart surgery, and then just couldn't take it. So it sounded like he was doing okay after the heart surgery, but then he got pneumonia. That was So go watch my Vader matches. He's had a bunch of good ones. And then to counteract our sad story, I'm going to do a lighthearted pseudo news story. Are you familiar with Thea Presley Ospreay's girlfriend?
Yes. Yes, the Pale John. That I think she had cancer at some point, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Hopefully, that's it's in remission, I guess.
Yeah.
But for a while she would do the hashtag pug for Bea, something about her wanting to get a pug and how, I guess, Ospreay is just not really into the idea. So, last weekend, she apparently made a deal with Ospreay. She had to sell a certain amount of new shirts, hashtag pug for Bea. Before it went down, Ospreay actually retweeted the link and said, yeah, you should buy these shirts. And Ospreay was like, come on, man, don't do this. So it was coming up to the deadline, and she hadn't sold all the shirts. She was close when Cody Rhodes, who had retweeted it, did actually swoop in and buy the last of those shirts.
Shit.
Forcing Ospreay to now have to come through on thing. He sent Cody a mean text message. Cody said, hey, I wouldn't tell people to do something I wouldn't do myself. So, now Will Ospreay has to get a pug for Bea Presley. So, Cody Rhodes was also saying a pug would be good for Ospreay to teach him how to slow down, which I thought was funny. So, that's your lighthearted story to counteract the sad story. Alright. On to other news. In some kind of interesting news, which might not be a horrible idea, Access will be airing a new Women of Wrestling show.
Yeah.
Apparently, Satana Garrett's involved. However, a couple of the promo pictures I saw made it look like GLOW, and we are so fucking past that. We don't.
Oh, God. Don't do that. Don't do this to us.
They had these two women who look like they were in prison jumpsuits, and I'm like, no! Fuck you! And, by the way, the person producing this is MGM, who's been involved in producing wrestling. And guess who is currently the president of TV for MGM?
Who?
The founder of Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, shit. I said wow. Fuck.
Yes, exactly what it's called. So, the only positive to this is that now people can shut up for a little while about New Japan having a women's division, but I'm sure when they watch the show, they'll be like, yeah, no, let's talk about New Japan getting a women's show because this isn't working out for us.
Right.
Yeah. But, alright, some other ones. Word has it that WWE got involved with the Ring of Honor Madison Square Garden show, and ROH lost their MSG debut. There's apparently a few little bit more complications to that. WWE doesn't want any wrestling company to do Madison Square Garden, even though them themselves are not going to run too many Madison Square Garden shows because it's expensive. So it's kind of weird, but, you know, whatever. 619 that just passed by was made Rey Mysterio Day in San Diego.
What?
619 is Rey Mysterio Day in San Diego now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, shit.
619. So, Mysterio got to show up in a suit and a mask to an official government function, so that was great. Alright, Dr. Amon, who recently lost his lawsuit, it was pointed out that he had an unethical, he made an ethics violation by being in a relationship with Jillian Hall. Because the doctor is not supposed to be in a relationship with one of his clients or something. Some people don't think this is a big deal. I don't know. What, they're doctors. I mean, even though there's a history of, like, obviously doctors getting with clients or, you know, people they treat. But, yeah, it's an ethics violation. So, that's all. I have the first official name for the Mae Young Classic. Not official by WWE, but official by a whole country. Mako Satomura was announced in Japan newspapers as going to do the Mae Young Classic.
Wow.
They did a whole thing about it because it came out about the same time as the Io Shirai retirement match.
Huh.
Io Shirai's last two matches, one was a tag match, her Thunder Rock tag team against Kagetsu and another wrestler whose name escapes me. And before that, Io Shirai did a triple threat match at the Kenta Kobashi produced Fortune Dream show where it was her versus Mako Satomura versus Matsumoto, Hiroyo Matsumoto, which I haven't watched a match, but that match was apparently really fucking good. But just around this time, one of the newspapers said that Mako Satomura agreed to do the Mae Young Classic, which is both a surprise and not. She has a lot of fans in WWE, obviously. She's worked with several of those wrestlers, and, like Drew Gulak, for example. She's worked with Ruby Riott. She has big fans in, you know, the War Raiders or Cassius Ohno and everything. So, I mean, I don't think she's going to go to the finals because they, you know, I don't think an Asian is going to win the finals this year.
No.
But I wouldn't be surprised if she made it to the Final Four. Because it's fucking Mako Satomura, and she is probably 90%. And I can guarantee she will be better than 90% of the field that will be in the Mae Young Classic. So that is all I have for news.
Oh, yeah, that's it? Okay, cool. Nice. Shit, what other news they got? Fuck. I'm trying to think. There was a lot. There was a lot of random shit. A lot of random shit. I know John Cena is the new face of Armor All now. You see that those commercials?
No. Yeah, the only thing I've seen with John Cena lately is the really good trailer for Bumblebee.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Oh yeah, and then of course there was the whole new, like. Total Bellas shit where, like, he, apparently he got his tubes tied. Like, he had a vasectomy.
Yeah.
But, like, now he's claiming, now he says that he is willing to reverse it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, apparently the vasectomy is a lot easier to deal with than women getting their tube tied.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, it's rather simple to reverse for the most part, so we'll see how that goes.
Reminds me of an episode of Scrubs that was based around it.
Oh, yeah. But, damn, I remember I used to watch this show all the time, man. Fucking Scrubs was the shit.
Yeah.
Okay, and then going back to NXT TakeOver, Vic Joseph was actually one of the commentators for it, as Mauro Ranallo was not present because he was doing commentary for Showtime Boxing. So I thought that was interesting to note. So funny how he works for NXT and Showtime constantly. So he's making that professional wrestling money and the boxing, and I think he does a little MMA commentary still. I think so. But I thought that's interesting. Warbeard Hansen, Fabian Aichner, and Ricochet, there was a video of them playing tug of war with a 3-year-old lion. And of course, they lost.
I saw that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, so damn. So that's why if you're ever going against an animal that size, you're fucked. You know? They're extremely, extremely strong. Lions, tigers, bears, all those motherfuckers, man. You're fucking dead.
Yeah, that was getting passed around quite a bit. For some reason, that reminded me of why the dollop kind of has never done a wrestling story, because I was listening to the recent one.
Yeah.
And they were doing live, and somebody showed up. They were working on a movie called Kayfabe. Yeah. The guy was there, and he had a belt, and they were asking him. And at first he said, I didn't care. But then he said, well, someone did submit a story about this wrestling family. And then I read it, and they all died, and I was depressed.
Oh, wow.
And someone thought it was Benoit. I was like, I knew right off the bat he was talking about the fucking Von Erichs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, why would you want them to do that story first? You have to, with people who don't like wrestling or watch wrestling, you would have to lean into something a little bit more not fucking depressing.
Yeah.
I would have done Sam Shepard, the guy from the doctor turned fugitive turned, who the fugitive is based on, who ended up being the pro wrestler who invented the mandible claw.
Oh, okay.
That would have been a more interesting first story, even though there is a death in it. At least it's not the whole fucking family dies.
Right.
Yeah, but I thought that was kind of funny. I never heard of the movie Kayfabe. I guess it must be new or something.
Well, speaking of depressing wrestling families, did you see the WWE 24 for the Hardy Boys?
No, but I heard it was really good.
It was really good, dude. Like, but it delves deep into like their addictions and how much they fucked up in life and all that shit. It even talked about the recent arrest of Jeff Hardy like a month ago. So yeah, it went all the way to now. There was a few incidents they left out of it, but for the most part, they really hammered hard on like, yeah, these two were really fucked up. One incident that definitely comes to mind that they didn't mention was the whole domestic violence incident between Matt Hardy and Rebby Hardy.
They would definitely stay away from that.
Yeah.
It is good to know that there hasn't been any problems between them.
In the WWE 24... Okay, so what ended up happening is that they ended up fighting each other, and they both got arrested for that one. I remember that. But basically, that WWE 24 basically said that, yeah, if it wasn't for Rebby, he would probably be fucking dead, basically.
Because
she didn't like throughout the time, even before they had kids, like she didn't give up on him.
See, that's good, because when they got together, there were a lot of people who were very anti-Rebby.
Oh yeah, there were a ton of people, and then they were, cause I think, and then part of it I think was because you saw like the downward spiral Matt Hardy was going through, and then people didn't see like. People didn't know exactly what was going on, but, like, didn't... I don't know if they thought that she was a bad influence or she wasn't really helping or anything like that, and she was just a clout chaser for the most part. But yeah. It really seems that she really cared about him, and it paid off, I guess. So
I'm guessing she's the realest one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. So, gun on them. So, yeah, when you get the chance, definitely check that out, so... Really cool stuff. What other things happened? The New Day faced the Elite last week. I think by the time this episode of this podcast aired, that had already went down. But to reiterate, New Day won the team exhibition battle for Street Fighter V.
Arcade. No surprise, since the Young Bucks aren't really video gamers.
Yeah, they put up like Matt put up a good fight, I think. But
well, Matt's a little older, so I'd imagine he played a little bit more.
Yeah, Matt put up a good fight. Like he put up a pretty good fight, but they ultimately got washed. What helped the New Day's game plan was that they avoided having Xavier Woods face Kenny Omega off the bat. They picked because like Big E and Kofi are strong within themselves, so either way, like they have three, like New Day has three strong players straight up, and the Elite only have like one strong player, one decent player, one trash player. So, either way, they were going to get screwed. But, so, the New Day ended up winning that. They went in on some big spiel, Kenny facing Xavier Woods, because that's what this originally was supposed to do. That's what we were waiting for this whole time. So, eventually, they decided, alright, we're going to do this. Loser has to eat habanero peppers, yada yada yada, and it ended up being a first of five series on Street Fighter. Xavier Woods won two matches. Then Kenny Omega ended up winning like three matches in a row. And then Xavier won one. And then Kenny won one, and then Kenny won one, and then Xavier won one. So like it ended up being 4-4, and it ended up being basically sudden death with whoever won the last one basically being the winner, and eventually Kenny Omega won the 1v1 versus Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods eats the peppers. Everybody's cheering him on. And then Kenny's like, nah, fuck this. Like, you're out here eating peppers and you're still getting love from the crowd. I'm gonna eat them too. so he eats some and shit. And they both got on the mic and talked about how this is historic. We're really bridging gaps, not just between WWE and New Japan, but the gaming community, yada, yada, yada. Specifically the fighting game community. So it was really cool to see that everybody come together with that stuff. And eventually, of course, the Elite had being the Elite episode, and of course New Day was featured on that episode as well, because I guess it was part of the lead up to that whole exhibition. And
so New Day is not going to get fired for showing up on video?
No, I don't think so. Why would they? Because it's YouTube.
Because Jimmy Jacobs got fired?
It's YouTube, and it's WWE sanctioned. Because remember, WWE were actually the ones advertising that shit at the same time.
Yeah, I know. It's still just kind of like,
Yeah, so they got permission. They got permission. Okay, and speaking of video games, AJ Styles is the cover star for WWE 2K19, which I will most likely not buy because half, like, basically every game they put out is not a complete game anymore, so why waste $60 on that anymore?
Oh, yeah, especially because the government is trash and will implode, and you're gonna need all the money you can to survive.
Oh, yeah, that too, yeah. And why waste my money on a incomplete game?
Did you catch the all-in news that just happened?
No, I did not.
They said that their show is gonna be broadcast, that someone's gonna take care of it.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Shit, so streamed, that's nice.
So more details will probably be happening closer, to that, you know, closer.
Alright. What else? WWE is actually having a big show in Australia. I think they're, BCG Arena or something like that. Or is it MCG? Whatever. I don't know. But it's headlined by Triple H and Undertaker. And apparently they're advertising it as their last meeting. So, should be interesting, I guess. Most likely it'll probably be, like, streamed like the Greatest Royal Rumble was. So, yeah. Yeah, fun stuff. And speaking of Undertaker, he was backstage at one of Post Malone's concerts. He ended up doing some funny choke slam spot on his dirty ass, and posted some pic on Instagram saying "When Worlds Collide," because yes, Undertaker does have an Instagram now. So yeah, kayfabe is officially dead. Yeah, officially dead. See, once Undertaker really doesn't give a fuck about the gimmick as much anymore. It's pretty much over. it's a done deal. What else? The WWE UK series, of course, Johnny Saint is the new GM. They had the event in the UK go down. Pete Dunne defended his title, and of course the tag titles got defended, but Undisputed Era ended up taking the L to Mustache Mountain. No spoiler, because pretty much that was broadcast fucking everywhere, so so good on them. I would have loved for Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan to win, but I guess not. So whatever. And besides that, they also announced that the UK brand, the UK series, which will start tapings in July, will also have the UK Tag Team Championship and the UK Women's Championship. The women's roster don't know too much about what's going on with it, but it looks like they're plucking a whole bunch of girls from Progress, basically.
So yeah, they're gonna still be allowed to work Progress and ICW.
Yeah,
and no other. And if you're a UK company, you can't stream any matches if you hire these women or any of those wrestlers. You can't stream them on your service.
Yeah.
So if they want to get other bookings, they'd have to be. Actually, they didn't say anything about they can be booked on American shows. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's funny. It's funny. Somebody said that the UK, the British scene, built itself up to what it is, only to sell out to the WWE. Oh man.
Yeah. You basically have a Rev Pro, Fight Club, OTT, and Riptide are going to be the ones that are going to get screwed out of this.
Yeah, basically, because like they can't use a whole bunch of those tablets anymore.
But
wow.
Rev Pro and OTT are, and then maybe even Riptide, but definitely OTT is using some of the New Japan talent when it comes down for the Rev Pro shows.
Oh, okay.
So they're figuring out a way around it. So.
Okay. Besides that, ESPN, the magazine, is doing their 10th anniversary of the body issue, which is tasteful nudes of sports figures and shit like that. I believe Jerry Rice is supposed to be one of the guys, but the WWE representative for the body issue, Body 10, is Charlotte Flair. So she'll be in all her glory, Friday, June 29th. So, good on her. Good on her. Besides that, and we were talking about the UK shit, Noam Dar actually returned to action, during, that tournament, event. And, yeah. And besides that, that's all I got. That's it for the news.
Wow.
Yeah.
We are... Wow, alright.
Yeah.
I ain't got any more shit happening. We can wrap this up, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
We can go do something that doesn't involve procrastinating. Maybe I should bother trying to finish this fucking book before I go on vacation so I can start reading other books. Yeah. I don't know. I guess I could just briefly say that PCO and Jody Flash are going to be in Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Congratulations to PWG for not becoming, for falling behind on booking them dream matches. GCW put PCO back in the conversation, and Chikara grabbed Jody Flash from overseas and put him back in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
PWG really been slacking on their on that shit, huh? I guess so. And I guess they started booking an actual California guy in Brody King, so congrats. You're one of the few California wrestlers that they bothered to hire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's basically
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, and fuck the Republicans and fuck the conservatives.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck all the conservatives. Oh, and the libertarians. They can eat a dick too.
Yeah, I hate all political parties, but those ones are the ones I hate the most. And is there an AAW show happening? I never know because they never fucking know. Oh yeah, okay. So there's an AAW show called Wrestles. Wrestling spelled like David Starr's stable group. Let's see real quick because they actually bothered to post pictures of all their matches. So we have showing up will be Nate Webb, Scarlett Bordeaux, Ace Romero, Paco, Colt Cabana, Jake Something, Kurt Stallion, the MJF. They don't have any matches, but they'll be there. Matches that are booked are Moose versus Eddie Kingston, Su Young versus Hudson Envy. Triple threat match, Dean Wolf versus Rich Swann versus Myron Reed, Brody King versus Sammy Callahan, Heritage title match, Trevor Lee versus Trey Miguel, women's title match, Kimberly versus Kylie Rae, and the main event, ACH defends his title against David Starr. So, okay, that was a last bit of things. Saturday, I guess. So, or Friday, I don't fucking know. But yeah, that's basically it. I'm trying to think if I have to plug anything. Incredibles 2 was good. Very good. Liked it quite a bit.
Yeah, unless you're epileptic.
Tag was fun. It wasn't great, but it was amusing. And,
was it as good as Game Night?
No.
No?
No. Okay. But, I mean, I rewatched Game Night, too. And I mean, Game Night was great, but I don't think Game Night is going to be as good on multiple viewings as other comedies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you know, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mystery is kind of missing from it.
Right.
But, I mean, it's still good. I think Game Night's a better movie than Tag, but I think Tag is one of those movies where you can get to the point with that one where you can kind of put it on the background and watch it. Though there is this kind of weird, depressing twist in the last 10 minutes that might hurt some people's viewings.
Oh, okay.
The actual, some of the stuff that goes on in the movie is, you know, it's generally fun. It looked like they all had fun making it, so it sort of translates. And I think that's kind of important. And it has some of the typical stupid stuff they add to comedies and drama, but it was fun. I still need to see Hereditary. I don't know when I'm going to be able to do it, but I need to see it. Jurassic World's coming out, so I'm going to catch that this weekend.
Yeah, I was thinking about Jurassic World, but I was like, I don't know.
That reminds me, your movie pass thing is going to have some trouble coming up.
Yeah, I don't know when. So I'm trying to figure out when they're going to finally, like, end movie pass.
Well, they lost all that money on Gotti. That was because they ended up picking up the distribution rights for it. So they spent
money
to buy that movie and let you see it for free and made no money.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's why I've been getting those fucking emails.
Yeah. So
yeah, motherfuckers. Exactly. Like, cause I was okay. So here's one funny thing that I've been dealing with for about a month. So I finally tackled cleaning up my email, my personal email, because I have 30,000 emails. Yes, you read that. You heard that correctly. So I deleted a whole bunch of unread shit, and a lot of it was spam and subscribed shit and blah blah blah. But then after a while I start like to really monitor what I'm getting, and I think I got like at least 3 different emails from MoviePass about Gotti telling people, oh, don't care, don't listen to what the critics say, go check it out and for yourself.
Yeah, it had a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah
they picked up the distribution right after it was dropped. That's why that was going on. But also, AMC's kind of been mad, so they're doing a change to their policy. They're going to do like a $20 thing on top of their program where, you know, you have the Stubbs card, but if you pay for $20 a month,
right,
you can, I think, have a certain amount. You can watch 3 movies in this period of a week, and then the next week you can watch 3 different movies, something like that. So they're going to do their own type of thing. I don't know how that's going to work out, but
yeah.
So,
yeah, because I don't know.
Might want to catch that.
I don't fucking know, dude. Like, goddamn. So, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out when MoviePass is going to get cut off from, like, AMC altogether.
Well, we'll see how it works after the AMC does their thing, because IMAX is really happy with AMC's assisted program instead.
Yeah, because, like, because MoviePass doesn't give you that many options for, like, a lot of the special IMAX shit either. So, I don't think. Because I didn't really see that many options for that. So, I don't know. The money makes sense. Because, like, I heard out in your way, like, IMAX is expensive as hell.
Yeah, it really depends on which IMAX you go to and which IMAX you see. But, yeah, if I go to see an IMAX matinee, I'm paying maybe $4 more.
Yeah.
Than other what did you add to Instagram? What the hell is IGTV? I don't fucking know.
Some Instagram TV shit. I think they're trying to do some type of subscription thing, so like there's like video that's like an hour up to an hour long that you could actually watch. which I don't see the point in. Like, a lot of these Instagram...
we're going to be bootlegging shit, a lot of shit coming up.
Oh, no, they'll get them. They can track that shit down. But yeah, a lot of these Instagram comedians are barely funny for like a minute, let alone an hour. So I don't see how that's going to help them out either. So, and they're the biggest part of videos and Instagram, so... besides food.
Internet comedians, they're not actually funny. They might have one or two decent jokes. But real comedy takes a lot more work than they're willing to put in.
Yeah, that's why you see people plucked from Instagram or YouTube or Vine or whatever, and then they dump them off into TV and movies, and they flop.
They're not real comedians. They haven't worked in front of like real crowds, dealt with hecklers, and really fixed their craft. I mean, it's like it's only a joke. Like, motherfucker, did you workshop this shit? It doesn't look like you workshopped this. You're supposed to hit the fucking scene and work out your jokes and then do the big show and use the jokes that flew. That's how comedy works. But, the IMAX stuff here is kind of depressing, but I pay mainly because I just try to get to the first movie I can see. That way I can get out, get food, go home, and, you know, not have to go outside again until next time I do a movie or have to go to work. Because I don't trust the outside world at all. Nothing else seems to be happening. I guess we could just do plug.
Did you see the Creed 2 trailer?
No, I didn't even see the first Creed. I'm not a big Rock fan. I'm only
really? Really? Yo, Rocky movies are fucking legendary, man.
I think they're fun. I think I've seen them all. But I'm not a really big sports guy. Sports dude. I mean, my favorite sports movie is probably Remember the Titans with Denzel Washington.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Titans was my shit. I used to watch that all the time as a kid. I think I still have the VHS of that.
Yeah. I did like Cinderella Man with Russell Crowe, but...
I never saw that.
I mean, it's one of those loosely based on a true story
things. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the fight. I mean, they're all boxing movies are all generally good, but I never saw Creed. Part of me is also like, come on, I'm just tired of seeing Sylvester Stallone.
Yo, but see Creed. That one's really good. That one's really good.
I'm sure one day I will. I also still got like 40 fucking films on my to watch list that I just keep looking at. Like,
yeah, I got shit. I still have like stuff to watch on Netflix and stuff, but right now I'm rewatching Luke Cage.
Oh yeah. Oh, this right in Glow's out this weekend, right?
No, it's Luke Cage is out this weekend. Glow is next weekend.
All right, good. Yeah, I knew something was out this weekend. I haven't watched the new Voltron, which I know I'm supposed to.
Oh yeah, I'm super behind on that.
Yeah, I don't know, but I got so many fucking things. Instead of watching some new shit, I bought the two Star Trek movies I liked and bought the two John Wick movies and just been watching those back-to-back mostly. I'm going to watch probably Incredibles later tonight, maybe. I don't know. I haven't rewatched the first movie in so long because I used to watch that movie all the fucking time. So,
Did you hear about Peter Fonda?
He tweeted something and now he has to apologize.
Like he tweeted out saying like, oh so, yeah, basically in response to Ice taking kids, he was like, oh, somebody should take her kid away from like Melania's kid Baron away from her or whatever, and then she got upset and contacted Secret Service. Oh shit.
Look,
here's what it was.
A lot of people are saying, but I wouldn't have said Melania. I would have said one of the other Trumps. Because while I don't like Melania, she's at least a lot more quiet than most of the other Trumps.
Right,
right. And I honestly think she really hates him, so I don't know.
But the funny thing is about her is that at the same time, she's kind of malicious in her own way, because like she's known for plagiarizing other people, specifically Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
and using the same initiatives that Obama has, and then pretty much trying to work it as her own. So, oh, yeah, like,
I don't like her either. I just wouldn't have went under, after her and Baron. I
yeah, she after, he went way Ivanka, he went way too hard. So, like, here's what he said. He said, we should rip Baron Trump from his mother's arms and put him in a cage with pedophiles and see if mother will stand up against the giant asshole she is married to. 90 million people in the streets on the same weekend in the country. Fuck. Yeah, he went way too fucking hard. He went way too hard, dude. God.
Yeah.
Which is funny. But the thing is that he's the brother of Jane Fonda, right? And then Jane Fonda, she's been known for pissing off a lot of Americans back in the day. Because remember, she was like really like adamant about
her. The Fondas were always very liberal.
Yeah.
The old Peter Fonda movies. There were all a lot of the drug trip movies, a lot of the counterculture films.
Right, right.
Even though a lot of them were also racist motorcycle guys because they were motorcycle gangs.
The Easy Rider shit, yeah.
Yeah, well, I wasn't thinking Easy Rider specifically. There's a Hell's Angels type movie he did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one by the legend Roger Corman, which I watched. It's not fucking good. But,
because Roger Corman.
Yes, Roger Corman. Roger Corman jumped in on the counterculture because Roger Corman knows a good thing when he a when good he way to make a cheap buck when he style one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. His son-in-law is Danny Elfman, the famous composer and musician.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Jack Skellington. Jack Skellington.
Elfman, the actress. Yeah. So you know.
Oh yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Alright, so that's all I got.
Yeah, alright, so plugs. You can catch me on Instagram, I guess, westside.goth, Twitter, CM Towns. I've been trying to occasionally update my blog, mygeekdom.wordpress.com. I have brief reviews of Incredibles tag on there and a brief review of NXT TakeOver. I couldn't for the life of me feel like writing one for Money in the Bank. I just didn't feel like it. But yeah, and that's it for me.
Okay, and of course, you can check us out, rantemradio.com, which they also have Twitter, Rantem Radio. You can check out their flagship show, The Rant, among their others. But for us, Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern D time. Pre-recorded, of course. And for me, you can check out doomsday519.tumblr.com, even though mostly I just post music and other shit. At Joy Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday 519 on YouTube is my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat. And with that, we're going to end it on a high note. And hey, 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 smoke weed every day.